pray that these lips of clay and all of our lips of clay would be able to tell this world the wonderful story, the wonderful gospel message of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now this morning we come to be encouraged as we open this precious book, Holy Spirit, and yield to Thee, not only to know what to say, but how to say it and how people to receive it. And then when we go out those doors, how we may practice it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I want you to turn, if you will, to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And the service today is going to be a little bit different. And the reason I say that, I don't know, but we're living in a time where there seems to be a lot of tragedy, a lot of trouble, a lot of heartaches. And I know this, I've been in this thing 57 years, and I've never seen my ministry in the last 5 or 6 years, and certainly 10 years, the trouble that we go through in this life. It seemed like it's like the sparks that fly upward, and I know maybe it should, because that's the way God said it would be. But somehow or another, we are misunderstanding, I should say, maybe about what trouble does. And recently, I was thinking this way, and maybe you remember, and I didn't even think about the song that had this title years ago, but a number of weeks ago, I began thinking about this thought, and you've heard it say before, don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Say it with me, don't worry, be happy. And that's just a saying. And I was reading Romans 8 again through, and it began to deal with my heart, especially two verses, and that's verse 18 and verse 28, where the Apostle Paul made this statement. If you look with me in chapter 8 of Romans, verse 18, he says, after he had talked, now listen to the whole context here, he's talking about what we are and who we are in Jesus Christ and the promises of God for us. In verse 17, he said, that we're children, heirs of God and joint heirs of Christ. If so be, we suffer with him that we might be also glorified together. And then verse 18, in case someone, I guess, wonder about what it means to suffer for him, he said, for I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Wait a minute. I reckon, I accept the fact, I put it to the count, that the suffering of this present time. Now, by the way, when Paul said present time, he meant his time. By the way, it also means our time. Amen. We're in the present now. That's past, but we're in the present now. And he says, I reckon that the suffering, he's already told us we'd have to suffer for Christ in some way or fashion. Some may be our own doings. But you'll find this life is full of that. And God has set forth that if we suffer for him, he says, that's not to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. And by the way, that is end results of that when we pass from the bounds of this earth in time and into glory where he's at, and we see what Jesus is preparing for us. Then in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, he simply says, and we know that all things work together for good of them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. And I read that verse again many times, and this time I read it a few weeks ago, and it bared on my heart that just about everybody you see in the religious world and television and everywhere else is talking about, that verse means everybody. Ladies and gentlemen, I've got to say to you this morning, it doesn't mean everybody. It means those who know Jesus Christ as Savior. Now, God can allow something to take place that would be good if it causes a person to trust Christ as their Savior. God can allow something to take place sometimes if it causes us to serve God. But I want you to know this is not written for the world living like they want to live and just think that everything's going to happen is going to be their good. Because some of the things God's talking about is not in this time. It's in eternity. And that's where we're seeing. And so I call this morning again, don't worry, be happy, for this is not the end. And you know, everybody uses that in our day. We try to encourage people by saying that. I mean, we talk to, and we said, don't worry, everything's going to be fine. We told each other that. We told many that. We've told our children come whining because they got a little bump, a little scar. Don't worry, everything's going to be fine. It's easy to say, isn't it? But I want you to know, when Paul said this, he wasn't talking about little scrimmages here and there. He was talking about hurts because of the suffering of Jesus Christ. And of course, when we look at this particular phrase, and now I see even more because I remember as I started studying this, that back years ago, there was a song You know, don't worry, be happy. How many remembers that? If you would not, in 1988 is when a fellow by the name of Bob McFerrin sung that song. Don't worry, be happy. But his reason for singing it in the secular world is not the reason why Paul would say this in Romans 8:28. Because I want you to know, when God allows things to come our way because we're suffering for Christ, there's an end result much better than the suffering. And that's what this is talking about here. If you go back and look at the song that this fellow sung, it had lyrics in it like this. It said, in every life we have some trouble. When you worry, you make it double. Don't got no place to lay your head. Somebody come and took your bed. Another phrase said, ain't got no cash, ain't got, boy, that's good English, isn't it? Ain't got no cash, ain't got no style, ain't got no girl to make me smile. But don't worry, be happy, because when you worry, you face with frown, and that will bring everybody down. Well, that's the lyrics of that song. But that song was made, sung to sing, to make money, and probably people use that to try to encourage others. But I want to encourage you this morning something that God said through the Apostle Paul. That song can encourage you in everything, but what God says can encourage us. When you think about being encouraged in this life, what does it take to encourage us? I don't know. I read where there was a young fellow who got an accounting, got a degree in accounting, and he's going to look for a job, and he was talking, as you may have heard this before, but it fits my message, so that's the reason I'm saying it. He found a job in the ads, and he went and put an application in, and the guy brought him in and began to interview him. And he said, I want to tell you, he said, I need someone in accounting degree that I'm looking for is to take all of my worries for me. And he said, I don't understand that. He said, could you excuse me and tell me what you are talking about? He said, well, he said, I worry about everything. But there's one thing I don't want to worry about. He said, I don't worry about money, and I've got a job open for somebody who can take all my worries about money. And the fellow said, well, I think I can handle that. He said, you're fired. He said, but wait a minute, before I take the job, I don't know how much you're going to pay me. And the guy said, well, I'm thinking about $80,000 a year. And his eyes popped open, his head went back, said, $80,000 a year? He said, man, that's fantastic. Why in the world, could I ask you a question? Why in the world would you pay that? And knowing that your business is not that good, what's going on that you're paying a salary that kind of money when your business is bad? He said, that's your first word. Amen. Well, we have things in this life that brings about worrying. You've heard that saying that said, worrying is like a rocking chair. Give something to do, but don't take anywhere. Someone else said, worrying is like carrying around a suitcase full of old junk that you don't want to use, and you just carry it around. If you drop it, you wouldn't be worried. Another person said, worrying will not change you, your past or your future, but it can ruin your present in this life. So to dwell on the past and the future, there's no motivation for us to make progress in life in the present. Worrying is one of the factors of age. And I thought about that, and I asked the Lord recently, and I talked to my wife about it. I can't understand. I know more about Scripture and what I can apply it today than ever before, and yet I worry more now than I used to worry. You say, I don't do that. Well, please write a book about it, amen? Because I want to tell you, this world is full, if you're trying to live for God, the things that come your way. I used to have in my office in the other building over there a sign over my back of my desk that said that worry is not to trust the Lord. Faith is to trust Him. And I had it where I could read it every day. So when it comes to what I'm talking about today, one person made it this way, and I think you understand how one thing leads to another about worrying. They said, in life, there are only two things to worry about. You either are well or you're sick. If you're well, you don't have nothing to worry about. If you're sick, there are two things you have to worry about. You're either going to get well or you're going to die. If you get well, you have nothing to worry about. On the other hand, if you die, you have two things to worry about. One is to go to heaven and doesn't go to hell. If you go to heaven, you have nothing to worry about. But if you find yourself going to hell, you're going to be so busy in pain, you don't have time to worry anymore. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's true in that situation. Another person said, don't worry about tomorrow because it's already come in Australia. Well, one thing is for sure, we know we have a life of worrying. And so maybe some don't do as much as others, But I guarantee you, if you say you don't, something can happen the next 24 hours to you in a flash, and suddenly you don't have all the answers together, and you go in a reverse state because you've got to seek, if you're saved, you're going to seek God's face, and He's going to try to help you come through those things in life. Now, we know that none of this is completely true when it comes to accidents. When it comes to people nowadays, sickness happens, and good people have bad things to happen to them. It's no doubt, and I've been here enough to know that a lot of our people in our church are good people, have had some bad things to happen to them. But you still repeat that phrase, don't worry, be happy, everything's going to be all right. Every generation of every culture and nation has said these words from time to time. And the Apostle Paul wrote similar to this, and he said in Romans 8, all things work together for him that loved the Lord and are calling unto his purpose. But when he says all things work together, you must understand the last part of that phrase. It puts a definition on why he said that. And it's setting forth the fact that there are things that God's people worry over that the secular unsaved people don't worry over. And that is suffering for the cause of Christ. If you try to go, we go out every week. It's not uncommon someone come back and say, this person who I was witness said this, or this person asked me to leave. This person had some words to say to me. I want to tell you something. You will never do anything for God and have something to happen to you that may cause you to think or worry about it. God's not going to recompense that one of these days. That's eternal things, and God's going to see to it that he said, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. So Paul was certainly familiar with suffering, though, when he wrote these verses. If you go back and look in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and 12, what we saw a few weeks ago, you'll find all those things that happened to Paul simply because he was trying his best to win people to Christ. And God took him in chapter 12 to the third heaven. And he saw all those things to write, and then the Lord would not let him write about those things. And when he asked him about moving the thorn in the flesh, he said, my grace is sufficient. And Paul said, then I learned that I can grow and be helpful in my flesh when I do something for the Lord. He knew that. And so here Paul had seen near experiences. He had been beaten. He'd been put in prison. He'd been persecuted. Yet he speaks of things working out for good. What good things and for whom? And he said, for those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. Don't ever forget the last phrase of that verse when you have the first phrase. Let me just give you three quick points. First of all, if I see in this now that things don't work out for good for everybody. A man goes on the foreign field and he gets, you know, permanent rent for life. How can that be good just to say because he's good? It's not good to have pain, folks. But God is saying that sometimes he can take an event and work it out. If it's not good in this life, it will be good in the life after this. Jesus Christ on Calvary made it possible that we could live with him. But I want to tell you, folks, anyone that thinks things are going to work out good, if they ever have any good at all, it's going to be in the, if a person not saved, listen to me, if a person not born again, anyone who ever has any good will be in this life, it won't be after this life. That's right. Only those who have been saved will one day reap great things beyond this life, which will be much better than anything you and I have ever got in this life. And that's what God has promised us here. He's saying you can't serve me like you should without being one day blessed. And I promise you the future will come. Even now I bless you, but not like you'll be blessed when you get the glorified body on the other side. That's the end results of your life. Just keep remembering that whatever comes your way. You know why some people have died for the cause of Christ? Because they knew there's a better place. There's a better end result. And God gives us grace for that. So Paul is not making this statement promise to everybody in the earth, that is, unless what he sees fit to happen would cause. Anything that happens to cause one to get saved is worth it. Let me say it again. Anything that happens in this life causes one to get saved is worth it. Because there is a hell and there's a heaven, and being saved is going to heaven. It's much better to go to heaven than to hell. Thank you. So I'm saying this is amazing. Only to those who love God and are called according to his purpose here, he's saying. He does not mean that as long as a person loves God, things will work out. And when you don't love God, things don't work out. Let me tell you why. Because listen, how much a person loves God doesn't affect how God loves us. If it did, if you loved him more than I did, but I still loved him, then I'd be affected by that. God loves us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. God so loved the world, he gave his own son. He loved this world just like he loved you and I, but it only benefits those who believe his record about his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we're going to be happy. We're going to be more happy in Him. Any happiness we have here is temporary. He doesn't mean as long as a person loves God, things work out when you're not loving Him. I mean, how, when you think about how much a person loves God, doesn't affect God's love for us at all. A person's love or lack of love doesn't affect what Jesus has done for you and I and how much God will love us. Did you know, ladies and gentlemen, He loved this world while they were in sin and headed to hell. And Christ died for them and they don't even know it. You and I have been saved. He loved us just like He loved them. He loves us now just like He loved us then. And if He loved them to save them, He loves us who are saved, even though there may be some who don't love Him as much as others. My, this is so much a blessing to study, to understand when you evaluate yourself. You don't evaluate yourself with someone else. You evaluate yourself with what God gives you to look at, that you may measure yourself like He wants us to measure Him. So all things don't work out for the good of everybody unless it has to do to get someone saved, because those who end up in hell will never receive what those in heaven receive because of the goodness of God. Secondly, what kind of good happens? Verse 29, he tells us here in this, he said, for whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be firstborn among many brethren. I mean, what Paul is talking about, the good here, is not our comfort. It's not our wealth, it's not our health. Paul's talking about being made into the fashion of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the world may see Christ in you and I. And you won't hear this much today, but this is as much Bible as John 3:16. And we're failing out because everybody, isn't it amazing? You hear people talking about it, seeing like everybody's saved. Boy, if everybody is saved, then we got it made, hadn't we? I mean, if everybody's saved, you and I got it made. We've got something everybody don't have. And if God's going to save everybody, boy, we are all right, aren't we? We're all right, amen. We can run and thank God for it. And I thank the Lord. So Paul's talking about this. In the end, all things work together to bring each Christian into being like Jesus Christ. Even the difficult things that happens to you and I are used to make us more like Christ. God's design is when we get saved. When we first got saved, we are no ways like Christ. We've just brought over into this world, been born capable to perform things and do things for the Lord. But now that we are saved, He wants to manifest Himself. See, nobody's going to trust the Lord because of us. They're going to trust the Lord because they see in us something that's different. If they don't see Christ, they ain't nowhere in the world they're going to trust the Lord. Because first of all, they picture things more so than they do by faith. They don't understand faith. We do. So by faith, we do things and serve God so that they can see us and see something they would know they need to have because of our life. And that's where God manifests Himself, so they'll listen later on when He had made whatever He wants to do to their life or allow to come in their life at that time. So Paul's talking about being like Jesus Christ. In the end, all things work together to bring each Christian into being like Jesus and to bring each Christian home to heaven. He has twofold. He wants us, while the day we're saved, to God takes us home, that we manifest who Jesus Christ is. And then when time comes, if it's time to call us through exits of death or in the rapture together, He's going to bring us home. And that's where we're going to enjoy it more than ever before. So even the difficult things that happen to us can be used to make us more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the third thought is all good that happens may not happen here. Isn't that amazing? So next time you get somewhere and don't get an answer to prayer right then like we want it because of pain or trouble, whatever it is, just say, Lord, it's in your hands. You know me? Help me walk with you. Because what happens, if He can't answer it then, He will answer it in eternity one day. He's made that promise. This Romans 8:28 is promise. It may not have to happen tomorrow or next week, but somewhere down the road it's going to happen in this life or beyond this life in the portals of glory when we walk down the street of gold. And we'll see that in the crowns that won. We'll see that in the way light is manifested in us. We'll see that as we serve God and go before the bema seat and receive the rewards or not receive rewards at that time. So Romans 8:18, there are not just certain believers, certain Christians who will benefit from difficult things, but every believer, every Christian will benefit. No one will miss out on the good thing that will happen compared to life here. So the Christian may not see any good come out of trials or tribulations. At times, sometimes they will. I've been in both. They don't see anything out of the hurt or pain they have at the moment. But they might go through this life and then this world is not the end of their things. God's promise don't end right here. God's promise don't end just when we draw our last breath. Can I get an amen on that? Most of God's promise in their entirety and greatness is going to be after this life. I'm glad he gives us. I'm glad he built in a system in this body that can heal itself. Already, isn't it amazing? Cut it and it healed itself. Then sometimes it can't and God has to come in and intervene for us. And then even then he gives us medicine, doesn't he? Isn't it amazing? Oh, if we could just see what God has done for us, even though we are short of a lot of things. He's done so much for us. And you heard me say hundreds of times, everything that God does for humanity, I believe, he does it for his people who are trapped in here until God gets us home and humanity is blessed by it. It rains on the just, it rains on the unjust. If God gives medicine to help his people to get us another step, as far as life is concerned, then the world can benefit from it. But there's coming a day the world won't benefit from it. It won't benefit from it. So I'm looking at this thing that all good that happened may not happen down here. I mean, the Christian may not see any good come at all on the trial, the tribulation, or the pain, or the hurt. They may go through during a lifetime, and some people do, and many times they get an attitude or get an image of something that's good for them to help them see their life better as far as serving God is concerned. But this world is not the end of all things. For Christians, here awaits a place beyond this earth, which is real. It's more real and will be a permanent place. This is a temporary place that we are right now. So God is using our lives down here on this earth to conform us to the image of his Son. How do I know that? Romans 8, verse 29 tells me that. His Son is the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, there's going to be rewards given out on the other side in heaven for our service of God here as a child of God. But ladies and gentlemen, that's going to be a lot of things there that are going to understand different than we understand now. And there's going to be a lot of things. Listen, the Bible says he had tears put in a bottle. Every tear that we've ever shed is going to be accounted for. Why can't he do that for 7 billion people? He's got a better calculating machine this world ever has. And by the way, it is accurate. It don't have the trouble in it. So the Christian is not to accept what good happens down here this life only because the good that God is talking about, many things could be after we draw our last breath. When I consider, and that's what Paul is telling in verse 8, chapter 8, verse 18. He said, I reckon, or when I consider, or add to, or put to account, that the sufferings of this present time are not, noted the sufferings in the plural of this present time, are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. In other words, he said, Charlie, listen, son, you may go through something in this life, and I want you to know that you may feel like you can't bear it, but what you're going to suffer is no ways compared to what I got for you on the other side. How am I going to see that? By faith. Listen, if God said, if thou shalt confess in thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and in thy heart receive him, thou shalt confess in thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thy heart God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved, that's true. And when God talks about this, there's something beyond this life that's more glorious than this life, that's equally true. And I can trust him for that. And I think when I see this, thank God Almighty, and I realize that health, wealth, and comfort down here is fine and it's well, but that's not the good that Paul is writing about completely. The goal of the Christian life is to be like Christ. Amen. And folks, we're losing that in the present day. Amen. We're losing it. I thank God I came along when I did, because I used to see people who really, in the 50s, 40s and 50s, really when they were saved, you marked it. They everything in life was around the Lord Jesus Christ. No hindrance from anything. But it looks like today anything can hinder us, doesn't it? Just anything can hinder us. I'm talking about we who are saved, anything can hinder us. So here we find that God, Paul is telling us something about life and serving him and what a joy that is. We should be thankful for every blessing that God gives us here, because there is more than that when we get to heaven. And by the way, heaven is our home. We have the down payment. It's going to be our home. Every human being has difficulties. Every human being has hard times. Every human being often asks the question, as Brother Keeter said the other day, why me? Why me? But at the same time, all things in the believer's life are allowed and sometimes may be caused by God if it needs to be done.
Amen.
Because, ladies and gentlemen, God is a father to us. And we're like a father to our children. We will cause our children not to do something if we can, because we know it would harm them instead of bless them. Heavenly Father's the same way. If we're going to be involved in something that would take us from God rather than bring us closer to Him, He could cause something, and be rightfully so, because He's our Father.
Amen.
There's not one in here who hadn't had to correct your child at times. And maybe forcefully to some degree, where in turn hurt you more than it did them. And I say that in reality. But you have to have correction, because this body, this flesh, is apt to try to go its own way, and it's rebellious, it's sinful, and it'll rebel against anybody, any time. So every human being has difficult, hard times, and often asks why. All human beings in life are allowed, and sometimes maybe because something caused by God, something He allows things, and sometimes He calls it, if it might be done for their best. So God intends all things that He allows in the believer's life because He wants them to be more like Christ. And so when we say, don't worry, be happy, I'm not quoting Bobby McFerrin, what he said in that song. That song has nothing to do about God. It has to do with everything that has to do with humanity and with the flesh and what we do in each other as far as among each other. Now, we can encourage each other. Maybe that'd be good. Someone's been through something, certainly can encourage someone who's going through something. I'd be good. But I want you to know God has an answer in this book for us. If we don't stay in it, we miss out and may miss out what He's trying to say to us in life. And when I see this, Christians, which difficulties come, and God has happened to become more like Christ, and it's not pleasant, it's not enjoyable, it's not stressful, it's difficult. I have had in my life to know there's times that difficult. Body pain, and sometimes coma and other things, you come out, it's difficult. But I know this, God soothes, God gives peace, and I know anything He doesn't give me now, maybe what I needed, He's going to give it to me. Or what He's promised, He's going to give it to me. It's because God is not an ending giver. He don't promise something and then take it back.
Amen.
He promised something, and He keeps His word. And so one day we're going to find ourselves as we know that this life is not... Pain is not enjoyable. Pain is stress and difficult, to say the least, but it's not enjoyable. But in the end results, I know this, when time has passed, we and I will be more like the Lord Jesus Christ, and He's promised that one of these days soon, we're going to get a grand new glorified body fashioned like unto the body of Jesus Christ. I believe that. I believe it. Sometimes I'll be glad to lay this old thing down. I don't know about you. You're talking about cars getting old, has squeaks. Body gets old, has squeaks too. Sometimes you don't have tires, but your legs don't do like they ought to do. And you know what? This mind's supposed to control everything, but when you get to a certain point, this mind can't even control some things. You know that? My writing's worse than it's ever been. And I try hard. I try hard. I'm printing more now, slows me down. I'm typing more now, slows me down. But the thing about it is, this mind is still working, but this piece is not working. Not done like they would at one time. Amen. And some of you, I look at you, and you see the frown on your face, right? You said amen. You don't say it out loud, but it's on your face. Amen. Because you know the first place it shows? Right here. So I'm going to just finish with some comments after I've studied this and looked at it, because I really believe that God is meaning more for us after this life than this life. And He wants us to know, I'm going to do everything I can to get you to see who I am, and how I work, who my son is, that you trusted more so than you did when you trusted him. I'm going to let you learn how to walk by faith. If you listen to my word, then you're going to find whatever I may do here is going to be a blessing to you. It's going to help you. I may have to wait because I see things you don't see. You only see in part, I see in full. I see if I did this now what it would do here. You don't. So trust me here, so when you get here, you'll be what you want to be. Please understand what I'm saying. But whatever happens here, I want you to know, when you pass through this realm of time into glory, everything there is going to be much better than anything you had here. Because I promise you, not only here, but in results in glory itself. And what a joy that is. So life has unavoidable delays and disappointments at times. Life just don't run along like we plan it to run in this old world. In fact, I'm getting used to things not working out in apple pie order. How about you? Boy, it wouldn't be a wonderful thing if we had what we had today here and we had what we had years ago at 20 years old. This body. Think what all of us would be geniuses. Amen. The best of God's people fall short of Christ-likeness. Too much of the old nature gets mixed up in the process of the flesh work of the Holy Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit fights the flesh for us. But I'm glad that we are complete in Jesus Christ. One day we will see His fullness has flowed around our incompleteness while we're here in this life and did make us to a point as much as we let Him more like Christ in this world. People say times have changed, but God has never changed. God can change people. Now think about it. Some people say that times have changed, but not with God. God, by the way, could I tell you, God is still the same I am that He told Moses. God is still the one today. He outlasts all systems. He outlasts all times. God is not running an antique shop. God is making all things new. And what He's not making new that we can't see in heaven is just as real what we can see here. But one thing is for sure, He's bringing us, who's a new creation, into a new life. And that new life as it develops here is going to be deposited in a glorified body one day. My God, let us maximize our growth in You. God, help us to see this thing about life is more than where I'm practicing it right now. People say times have changed, but God has not changed. As I look at this, Jesus is in time. It was in time once, but now He's not in time. Revelation chapter 1, verse 18, He said, I hold the keys of death, hell, and the grave. He said this, and I quote Him, I am He that liveth forever and was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. He died once unto sin. He's not dead now. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. Listen, He was in the grave once, but He's not in the grave now. He died that we might say one day, I too was dead, but now I live forever in Christ Jesus. Just as much so as Christ said, the day will come we will be able to say, I once was alive, but then I died unless we change, but now I'll live with Him forever. That's enough to shout about. God, you make yourself real to us in this flesh. We can't hardly stand it. Jesus died to make death a has-been or a was, the last enemy to go. The Holy Spirit does not lead us under circumstances. He leads us through circumstances in life. If we live a life of fear and worry and defeat under circumstances, we will exhaust ourselves trying to battle through circumstances. We have a built-in power that Jesus Christ has promised. A built-in power, ladies and gentlemen, that no circumstance can defeat us. Did you know that? Greater is He that's in us than He's in this world. Let me never forget that, God. Whatever it is I face, don't let me forget. Greater is He that's in me than He's in the world. Would you say it? Greater is in me than He that's in the world. One more time. Greater is He that's in me than He that is in this old world. I thank God for that. I think as I build this power, I'm not giving a pep talk as someone who has not seen trouble in this old world. I'm not seen like some have that I have crossed paths with, but I've seen enough to know I don't like it. And God knows we don't like it. And I don't feel like I'm saying anything wrong to God when I say I don't like it. But I know this, bless God, I can endure it with His help. I can endure it. And by the way, so can you. Jesus Christ, praise His name, suffered more than you and I ever suffered. Such people try to sympathize with us, that's true. But mine is a testimony born out of adversity. I can say, with Paul, not equal to Paul, but under Paul, my life is hid with Christ in God. So can you. Our lives are protected because we're hid in Christ in God. And when I see that, I understand everything that does not work out for me, for my good, in time, everything. I've seen people who lost their legs. How could that work out? Whatever the reason, the body just failed. I've seen embarrassed people who on the battlefield went to serve our country and came back home in a box. How could that work out? And yet God uses circumstances in life to let us know this is not our home. There are things we have to fight for. There are things we have to do. I tell you how it works out. Because he has promised one of these days you will be out of that atmosphere. Do you like what they did with Christ? He was a perfect human being, born without sin, lived the life, the 33 and a half years, never sinned. The world hated him so much they crucified him. Look, they couldn't even tell he was a man when they crucified him. Look what he did, and look what he went through. You will never have to go through that. And then not only that, son, listen to me. You don't understand when he was on Calvary. That was just, what he went through was simple, but when he was on Calvary, what I did at that time was extract eternal death from him. I want to tell you something. There's no one else in the world ever faced that. Because no one else ever could face it. But my son faced it. And the sins, not a sin, but he, not that he sinned, because I made him sin for you. And the sins on this earth, for the million billions of people that have lived, he paid every one of those sin debts with his life. And I did that so, as you get through this life and you face these things in life, I did that to let you know this is not your home. You're just passing through here. And I made a place for you. And one day when you get there, you'll see I've worked everything out for your good. Everything out for your good. And so he does, you and I. That doesn't work out for our good. In time, will work out in eternity. So I say to you again this morning, don't worry, be happy. This is not the end. Not because a fellow by the name of Bobby McFerrin sung a song back then and that day and made a lot of money and just did it for money. But I'm talking about a time that God talks to us in this life. Don't worry, be happy. This is not the end because of what Jesus Christ has promised, what he did and what he promised for us in this life. Then you wonder why I want you to go and just tell people about Christ. You wonder why you need to put some things on the side burner and say, Lord, this day I want to give you. I don't think we understand. I think we've heard it so much we can dull to the reality just how far Christ went that we could be called children of God. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. The greatest thing you and I ever have been called in this life is a child of God. Stand to your feet, please, Father in heaven. Lord, I thank you so much to know that you're there. I thank you earlier this morning, Lord, as I met with you on messages today because I had to do three for the day. I thank you, Lord, that I know these things, and I pray to you to help me not be engulfed by them, that Satan would be found a liar. And Lord, as we know you said he was, and everyone here would see Christ on a different plane because they love him for what he's done for us. Lord, we couldn't love you without knowing your love for us. Because every love we have is on the surface. It's puppy love. It's little love. It's words more so than really a way of life sometimes. But not with you. God is love. He don't love just because to make him love. He is love. And our Father, in our day, we hear so much today through the media, through the different means of communication today, that people are talking in his name but missing out on the reality of who he is. This is not our home, Lord. We're just passing through. We're headed to a permanent home you prepared for us. Lord, I pray that where it be in this pulpit or where it be at a funeral speaking, that those who hear would hear something other than ordinary. It's not that we have superior knowledge, Lord. No. It's not we have a great IQ. It's not that our mind is brilliant. It's that we come as we are and say as near as we know how, Isaiah, oh, Lord, here am I, use me. Help this peanut mind see the things of God so I can tell someone intellectually about how to be saved and do it with love in your heart, a tear in your eye, and a prayer on our knees. Thank you again for the day. If someone may be burdened today here or by radio or by Ustream, I pray that they'd get to the Word of God and claim the promise of God that all things work together for them who love God and are called according to His purpose. Lord, I've had a lot of people say, I love God, but they want Him saved. And I question, how can you love God if you don't accept Christ as Savior? Because God, who loved us, sent His Son that we might have life. We must understand when God talks about love, it's not like man. He loved us while we were yet sinners. He still loved us. And He loves us no less because now we are saved. Help us have a view of this and bless someone today. And I thank you and praise you and give you honor and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.